You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
As the big voice guy said, this is Make the Call. Here is part of the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thank you for joining us for our roundtable show this week. Our roundtable is a triangle as Parker Olson in Madison and Greg Gunderson in Park Falls are the two who join me this week. Parker in Madison. First up, Parker, welcome aboard. How's it going in Madison?
Doing pretty good. A little bit of Halloween action this weekend, Jimmy.
I used to enjoy the Halloween on State Street as a college student. I think I still have pepper spray in my eyeballs. All right, Greg Gunderson in Park Falls. Gray, what's it going on up north?
I'm a little troubled, Jimmy. You just implied that when Conrad comes back, we'll be a square table instead of a round table, and I've got to process the implications of that. Otherwise, doing great.
Wow. It is basic shapes and things like that that you learn. We're going to teach shapes today. We're
not great way to sports. Start your Saturday morning.
That's exactly. That's what we're going to do today. So if you've got a 4K or listening, we are going to talk about shapes today. Now, what we're going to do is we're actually going to count up to seven, actually down from seven at 7 a.m., our top seven sports stories. So we are going to start at number seven in our top seven at seven. It is Badgers basketball related. So they're through two exhibition games. So do we think the Badgers are capable of making the Sweet 16? Keep in mind, they are ranked in the top 25. We will start with Parker.
I think that the Sweet 16 is pretty achievable for this team. It seems like we might have been a little underwhelmed with how they performed against UW-Platteville, especially early on. But I think that you tend to get those games early on. This is an exhibition. It was a tune-up. I think that they are going to tune up and that they do a pretty decent job, it seems like, of peaking at the right time. As we get closer to March, I think they'll lock it in.
Gray, what are your thoughts?
I got that diesel engine feel in the Platteville win. A slow start turned into some steady momentum, but it comes down to whether that's going to be the norm. And okay, that can work. You just got to get them running a little hotter, if you will, at the risk of extending the metaphor. I think people get my idea there. That's, you can overcome slow starts, just not forever, not consistently. That's rough for any team in any sport.
Number six in our top seven at seven, we're going to stick with the basketball theme, and that's because the Bucks fans have a new favorite player, and his name is Ryan Rollins, who had a career high in the most recent Bucks win. Is Ryan Rollins for real? We'll start with Gray.
Well, he's for real for now. I have trouble with hot takes. Let's be honest. I have trouble with hot takes. Is it Jeremy Lin or, well, maybe, but it's definitely not LeBron. We know that. Okay. So I'm a hedger. I'm going to say maybe.
All right, Parker.
Well, he's no Tony Snell. So we've got that going for us. He's not putting up zeros. That's fantastic. I think that he's going to be a reliable guy. He's not going to be somebody that you're going to go lighten up the scoreboard, but he's going to do plenty for you. And I think Bucks fans will be happy with him this season.
I think they'll enjoy the youth too, because he's younger than about half of the first round draft choices this year in the NBA. Let's move up to number five in our top seven at seven. So Badgers football, we fired Luke Fickell, seven times in the last 7 weeks. But if he was fired, who would you want to replace him as head coach of the Badgers, keeping in mind that just about every major college program seems to have a need at head coach? We'll start with Parker.
I really don't know if I've got a specific answer that I feel great about. I do have a specific don't hire him answer, and that is Brian Kelly. I have opinions about Brian Kelly. I'm not a fan. And I think many people would agree with that. If I'm the Badgers, if I'm Chris McIntosh, I'm thinking about maybe trying to find somebody who's bringing a program back up. Kind of like, I can't think of what the guy's name is, but the head coach at Vanderbilt, that might be somebody that you're looking at, guy who's building the program.
Great.
I'm going to look at an actual, an experienced college veteran coach who I think might be, and this is just pulling it from nowhere, who might be looking for greener pastures, Chip Kelly. He's currently the offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're having a really bad time right now. Is that his fault? May or may not matter. He's had better success at the college level in general. I'd give him a call.
All right, we move up to number four in the top seven at seven. And okay, we're going to go off the beaten path a little bit here and just talk about Halloween, because last night, I don't know about you guys, I have children, but I was able to raid their bags for some Reese's peanut butter cups, some Tootsie Rolls, some great stuff here at my desk. But as any good parent does, you get the dad tags, right? So got to ask this, though, because if you look out at the crowds and you see a lot of costumes and things and like that, I got to ask, is Halloween a good sports holiday? And we will start with Greg.
Simple answer, kind of no. I mean, it just, Thanksgiving's right there. You know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick my sport. I'm going to say Thanksgiving's right there. It's got to be the big one.
All right, Parker, how about you?
I feel like in its own way, it's a good sports holiday because you've got football, you got basketball, you got hockey. You might even get baseball. This year, we're getting baseball. I think it's pretty good. I'm all right with that. All sports, sports equinox, that's what I want in a holiday.
Number three in our top seven at seven. We are going to talk Packers here for a second. And that is on Micah Parsons, who was just named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month. Also had a Player of the Week award in the mix as well. Can he keep up the pace this season, Parker?
I think so. I mean, registering a Player of the Month in Gray, I know that you might have been planning on saying this, and I'm sorry for stealing this. But he had a Player of the Month in a month where they had a bye. That's kind of impressive that he was still able to rack up those kind of stats. He might not keep up this exact pace, but he's going to keep on being who he is, and he's going to be a problem.
All right, Gray, it's your turn.
Agreed, 100%. And I might have said it if you didn't, but don't worry. You've just got brilliant points, great minds, as they say, right? I think it comes down to the fact that he's beating double teams yet. And some teams like Arizona, for some ungodly reason, chose to single team him something like 80% of true pass rush snaps. So it was an absurd choice and he made them pay. He's proven that he still warrants the double team. And he's not the sack leader on the team right now. That's Rashawn Gary, currently, I believe, number 5 in the entire NFL. So as long as Mike is still good enough to get double teamed, Rashawn is still there to clean up the extra bits and make a lot of money out of it, basically. It basically comes down to, is Micah healthy? Good. Then he's going to keep up that pace. I believe so.
Number 2 in the top 7 at 7, the Milwaukee Bucks are off to a good start. Does that surprise you at all, Gray?
No. It might have at one time, but there's been a culture shift. Well, I always struggle to keep up with the different tone of head coach player relationships that the NBA has compared to some other leagues, where the players can kind of dominate that relationship a little bit more than the coach does sometimes. I always find myself a little bit in a bit of a struggle to feel the landscape of certain teams, but the Bucks have clearly felt like there's an expectation to win now, where they wanted to before. Now they're doing it and they expect it. That's when your shoulders relax a little bit and you go about winning with that confidence. They're confident now.
Parker,
I think the Bucks are, obviously, they are off to a fast start. I don't know how impressive it is. With how different they look, I'm not a huge basketball guy, but when I look at this roster, I don't recognize as many of the names as I traditionally have on the Bucks. I'm surprised a little bit. Yeah, I'm happy about it.
Number one story this week for us, and this is what we've done the last couple of weeks. We're going to get our Packers-Panthers predictions. We're going to do it in 15 seconds or less. We will start with you, Parker.
I'm going to say Packers do a really good job running the ball in this game, get Josh Jacobs going. I think Micah Parsons is going to continue to have a really big effect. I'm taking the Packers by a score or two.
And Gray,
I'll call this six and a half point or so, that kind of spread. I expect a one score, but it could easily become two scores. I expect Josh Jacobs to have 70 yards or more, Tucker Kraft in a similar range, and one of those two, maybe both, with a touchdown. Focusing on offense today, we know what the defense is supposed to do.
You've heard our predictions. We're going to get a little more insight on the Packers-Panthers matchup, as well as all things sports. Mike Clemens right now with a sports update here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
It's the Bucks and the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks at home this evening against the Kings. Milwaukee 4-1. Sacramento just 1-4. The Bucks coming off that win over Golden State Thursday night, 120-110. Giannis was out with a sore knee, so guard Ryan Rollins stepped up, scoring 32 points, a new career high. Doc Rivers:
he's just tough. You know, he's a tough kid, man. And we got a team full of, like, tough guys. You know, resilient maybe is a better word.
Rollins asked what was it like playing defense against Golden State's Steph Curry.
It was nice. It was fun, man. That's probably the best way I could put it. It was fun just being able to, you know, just coming out with the win and just bumping with him.
A setback, though, for Bucks guard Kevin Porter Jr. He had been out with an ankle injury, and then he suffered a knee injury during a practice, doing damage to his meniscus. It's going to require minor surgery and is expected to be out now at least 4 weeks. NFL, the Packers host the Carolina Panthers tomorrow at noon. Panthers head coach Dave Canales excited the temperature in Charlotte had dropped from the 80s to the 60s, so his players could adjust to weather closer to Green Bay.
All right, what a gift. Got a nice cool day at practice. Expecting similar conditions in Green Bay this weekend, so we got to get out there and run around and for the guys to feel it, and went right back to work, and we're excited for this weekend.
The forecast calls for temps in the low 50s. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young has been out with an ankle injury, so veteran Andy Dalton filled in last week in their loss to the Bills and says he played most of the game with a broken thumb on his right throwing hand. Did the medical staff know?
During the game, I don't think they knew about it. And then as the game went on, you know, I had mentioned something, and then we got it looked at after the game. So, you know, there wasn't much to really talk about early on. And then, as the game went on, obviously it continued to swell up and different things. And the next, you know, after the images and all that kind of stuff, kind of knew exactly what it was.
Do you think it affected your play at all?
You know, I'm not going to, you know, use that as an excuse for anything. Obviously, I'd love for my thumb to not be broken. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's broken?
It is, yes.
So you broke it early and played the whole game with a broken thumb.
Bryce Young now expected to start tomorrow. The Panthers' defense has played well against the deep ball. Coach Ivero Ejiro, a candidate to take over in Green Bay as defensive coordinator, but he opted to remain in Carolina. Ejiro once worked for Dom Capers at the Packers. Capers now one of his senior advisors.
The Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field, and very, very excited about playing a very good football team. Well coached by Coach LaFleur and Coach Stanovich and their entire staff. Have a lot of respect for this organization. I was there in 2016 for 1 year and just had a fantastic experience. And just from top down, it's a really, really good place to work and fun place to live. And so we're excited about it. We know they're a good team. It's going to be a great challenge.
The Packers' Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month this week after his performance against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. He said during the game, Rodgers asked him if he wanted to buy his house in Green Bay and said that Rodgers was able to avoid a sack after he heard the crowd cheering for Parsons while he scrambled with the ball.
The one where I was like honking him down and I was like this close to getting him. And then he was like, I heard the crowd. I was like, that's some dead shit right there. I was like, because I'm going, so I'm like, crowd, shh. He's great to play. And he told me to buy his house.
Packers running back Josh Jacobs limited this week with a calf muscle.
For you physically, how you feeling?
I feel good, man. Flew around today. Really grateful that they letting me ramp up my reps, a little bit more this week. But, yeah, I've been good.
Is the calf issue a thing of the past?
Yeah, I haven't felt it. I got hit a lot in other places that's kind of bothering me, but not the calf. Calf feels pretty good.
In college hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team losing on the road in Minnesota last night 5-1. That snapped a 23-game winning streak for Wisconsin. Baseball, Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 3-1 last night thanks to a dramatic double play to end the game in the bottom of the ninth. Game 7 coming up tonight. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We're going to leave it out there. I don't think that the pressure, the moment's going to be too big for us. We got to go out there and win one baseball game. We've done that all year. Everyone's bought in, and so I don't know how the game's going to play out, but as far as kind of the moment, winning a game, I couldn't be more excited.
Blue Jays manager John Schneider on the final game of the season being played in Toronto.
It's going to be fun. You know what I mean? It's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 hours of mayhem and great baseball. You know what I mean? But these guys are going to be ready for it. Hopefully they get to slow some things down, but enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's game 7 of the World Series at your home stadium. I mean, what the hell else do you want?
That's the Blue Jays manager, John Schneider. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thanks, Mike, for that update. We will have a guest on in our next segment. It'll be Melissa Gehring, who is the assistant director of the WIAA. Today is the state cross-country meet in Wisconsin Rapids. It'll air on 2 Civic Media stations today as well. We'll talk about that coming up next on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
I'm joined right now by Melissa Gehring, who is the WIAA's assistant director and the person in charge of the state cross-country meet, which happens later today in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, first of all, thank you for joining me. The cross-country meet
is one of those exciting state tournaments to me in which you've got so many schools and so many individuals that come from all over the state to compete in one event. It's a one-day event, too, which just kind of adds to, maybe to the chaos a bit, but also to the excitement and energy level. What's it like just having to coordinate all of these different schools and student athletes in one place?
Well, I tell you, it is pretty awesome. It makes my job so enjoyable when I actually see it come to fruition. You're right, though. It's amazing. You can go to the state tournament, a team qualified for the state tournament, and you may not even remember seeing them because there is just so many different, there are just so many different teams and individuals running, not only the participants, but the spectators. I mean, you're going to see spectators running around from place to place to place too. It is definitely organized chaos, I suppose you could call it. Very organized chaos, I'll say. But it is something that you almost have to just be on site to really truly get the whole, grasp the whole thing. So I'm really looking forward to it and coordinating it when it comes to what's happening at Wisconsin Rapids or what's happening at each of the individual schools as they celebrate their participants. I have to give all the credit in the world to Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, who helps us set it up in Wisconsin Rapids, but to all the athletic directors and administrators at all these schools, because without them, this would be not just organized chaos, it would be a complete mess. So they do so much, and they have to read and pay attention to a lot of details that we send out to make sure everybody gets where they're supposed to by the time their race starts.
Let's talk about organizing the chaos, because as you said, there's a lot of people that go into this. You have to convert a golf course into a state-level cross-country championship course. What are some of the things that go into that?
Well, it is amazing because a lot of times at the college level, there's cross-country courses, and the course is specifically designed to be that cross-country course. So that is something really unique for our high school experience here, is creating the course from the golf course. It is a lot of spray paint. I'm telling you that because you can imagine, as you are aware, because you've been there, you do have to create the course. There are a lot of flags, and every color flag means something different. We've got mile markers we got to put out there. And then there's also the timing, electronic timing. This year we are live streaming the event, things like that, where when you think about it, and I don't think people think about this very often, there's not power everywhere on a golf course. So you even have to think about where your power is going to be, where you need it, where you need Wi-Fi. In today's world, we constantly need the Wi-Fi everywhere. Even the audience, or the spectators, I should say, have the Wi-Fi needs because they want to follow the live results going on their phone. And so in order to have Wi-Fi, we have to have a bunch of different routers and things connected. So it is more than I think people realize. We don't just send the kids out there to run around the course because it loops at everything. There's a lot that goes into it. And I really, again, you're probably going to hear me say this multiple times, really appreciate the staff at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln for helping us out with this.
Talking to Melissa Gehring, who's the WIAA's assistant director, the state cross-country meet happens later today in Wisconsin Rapids. You talked about the host a bit. I'm just curious because, you know, you've got a local course, you've got schools that are helping host this, and I'm sure there are coaches from all over, too, that are helping with all of this. What kind of local involvement do you get from people right there in the Wisconsin Rapids area to put this on?
Well, first of all, Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, the staff there, and then the participants when it comes to their athletes, their coaches, other members of their staff are out there setting up the course. They've been doing it since Thursday. They've been setting up the course for us. We've been out there back and forth. Then we get people from all over the state, officials that just love the sport of cross country, and they will drive up. As a matter of fact, on Thursday, our lead referee for the state track meet, for example, drove up from Evansville, and he's just there to help and help sets up. And these people give of their time just because they absolutely love this sport. So you're going to see people, course marshals, you're going to see course supervisors, things like that, that you've probably seen at track meets and cross country meets all the time. And they're just there because they love it, and they love giving of their time to the kids, and they literally come from all over the state. It's pretty amazing how much giving to the kids and giving to the sport means to people, that they're willing to do that.
Well, listen, my last thought for you is just on the meet itself. For the student athletes, state championships are a truly unique experience to participate in and be a part of, whether it's part of a team or individually. For the students, for this part of it, what's the experience like, you think, for nearly 1,000 competitors in this, in that they get to experience, you know, a state competition at this level? And again, as we talked about at the start, unique like wrestling or track and field, where you have so many schools and communities represented from across Wisconsin. How do you work to make sure that experience is great for all the students involved?
Well, that's exactly, you know, what I've been talking about. It's all the people that go into it, because we're making sure that this meet, we want it to be that culminating meet for their season. And for some of them, it's the culminating meet of their career too, right? So it's not even just winning their medal and stuff. It's representing their entire career that they've been out there running, and the grind of being not only an athlete, but being a cross-country athlete. A lot of people don't go out and just run every day. Running is actually a punishment in some of our sports, right? Like, you do something wrong, you run. So I think it's the amount of time and the attention to detail that everybody pays to this particular meet. And then, like you just said, it is the atmosphere of having all of these people from across the state in one location. And then knowing you earned that, and having all the fans and spectators. The great thing about cross country, more than any other sport, and track and field too, really, is that you'll hear people cheering for kids that aren't their own kids. They're actually cheering for them, just hoping, you know, get across the line, you know, when it's a really close, tight race at the end, cheering for the kids in general. They don't even care who wins, but just cheering because they're seeing them just go through and just leaving it all on the course. So I think the coolest thing about this, of course, is the culmination, but it is the attention to detail and just the number of people that are going to be there. And finally, I think a lot of times at cross country, they run on Saturday mornings. They might have their parents and things like that there. This also gives a lot of times their student body an opportunity to maybe come see them run and support them too. So we'll see some, we've already had some people calling and fan buses coming too. And I don't think they get that at their normal meets throughout the year. So this is pretty special.
Well, Melissa, thank you for your time. It's great to get insight on the state cross country meet. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You can listen to the state cross country meet today on WFHR or WRCO on the free Civic Media app. Campus Connection is next on Make the Call.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's time now for our Campus Connection segment, and we're joined this week, as always, by Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Jake, last night, the Wisconsin women's volleyball team ran into a bit of a buzzsaw in the hands of number one Nebraska. I know that Badgers volleyball, they're still very good. Don't get me wrong, they're still very good, but boy, you look at some of the other teams in the Big Ten this year, and you've seen like Nebraska and Purdue and some of these other squads. It's quite the level of talent the Badgers got to contend with this year in the Big Ten.
Well, and it's always throughout the Big Ten too, right, Jimmy? And I think that's the big thing with this conference, with the Big Ten. It has become the best volleyball conference in the nation. And, you know, Nebraska, it was truly impressive, because Wisconsin had some good hits last night, but you saw Nebraska dig out those spikes, those kill attempts by like a Mimi Coyer, Grace Egan. And so it was really impressive being that team and that experience on the team. And this is what, you know, makes Big Ten volleyball so good, is that, you know, there's some good volleys back and forth. But yeah, I mean, Nebraska is just the cream of the crop right now in college volleyball. And in Wisconsin also too, I mean, they're dealing with injuries right now with Charlie Furbringer, their star setter, and, you know, Grace Egan's, you know, now in her fourth match. So that's going to be, you know, it's going to be key for Wisconsin to see what's going ahead. And they have Ohio State tomorrow then in Columbus. So they have to, as Kelly Sheffield said last night, you know, they got to kind of flush this loss quickly and then face the Buckeyes on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned in your column that you put out after the match last night, the Badgers had, as you said, a good start. They had a couple of good plays here and there, but just a big time contender in Nebraska to deal with. You mentioned some of the injuries. Are there any other concerns for Badgers volleyball going forward?
No, I mean, I think Furbringer is the big one. She's the All-American. I think she's a third-team All-American last year by the ABCA. And, I mean, being the star setter, she was a team captain along with Carter Booth. That's the one that's just, you know, she's only a sophomore, but Charlie Furbringer is so good. And she was able to, you know, distribute the ball really well to you know, Mimi Poyer, the All-American outside hitter, Grace Egan, like I mentioned before, Carter Booth, Alicia Andrew, and others. But, you know, Eddie Horner, the freshman center that's in her place now, is really good. But it's also, she's still a freshman too. She's still learning, and she's gotten a lot, I'd say she's gotten a lot better over the course of replacing Furbringer. But yeah, it's hard to replace an All-American, right? And that's the big thing. You know, Grace Egan's working her way back. She had a great performance, you know, 9 kills, 9 digs. But the thing is though, too, she hasn't got her, spin serve back, her top serve back. So she's still using a different type of serve, working back from a lower body injury. So, but that's pretty much it. But, you know, it's a normal wear and tear of a Big Ten volleyball season, Jimmy, really, more than anything.
We got about a minute here, so I just want to get a quick question in on Badgers men's basketball. They start play on Monday. Got to see their exhibition games against Oklahoma and Platteville. What are you expecting early on from the Badgers?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, a couple of exhibition games, a loss of Milwaukee, and then playing Platteville. Yeah. I would say with how Wisconsin, I look at a couple things, is just how does this team gel well together, right? You have a bunch of transfers. It's going to take probably some time just with the way college basketball is nowadays of putting together a roster. So how can these guys gel well together, you know, against, you know, some non-conference opponents to start the year? I think that's going to be key for Wisconsin. And also just making sure they attack. And I think the other thing is just trying to get inside and creating points on the interior, do inside out. And then also maybe the third point is just making sure their defense is up to par. You have new guys, right? You have a bunch of transfers. This is what's going to be big for Wisconsin is also, I mean, that's what made Bo Ryan's team so good. It's what Greg Hart continues to preach is that defense of play from his, you know, whatever program, whatever team he puts out there each season. So those are just some of the things early on is just, yeah, seeing how they all gel together, both offensively and defensively.
Jake, thanks for your time and looking forward to reading all your work at BadgerObserver.com.
Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jake, for your insight on the Badgers. It lets us now turn our attention in our Campus Connection segment and talk about all of the smaller colleges in Wisconsin, the Division III schools across the state, including in the WIAC. It's also a fun time to talk about it, coming off of exhibition games in which River Falls took on Wisconsin in women's basketball and Platteville took on Wisconsin in men's basketball earlier this week. Parker Olson and I for this segment. I want to start in basketball just because the season gets underway here real soon. My first broadcast for UW Platteville Hoops is a week from tomorrow, so I already have to turn the page to that. I got to take in the exhibition game from afar. I don't go to games. I don't do sports on my kid's birthday. It was my younger son's birthday, so I did not go. But seeing Platteville take on the Badgers in men's hoops gives you kind of a sense for where things are in the WIAC. Platteville is sort of reloading, not rebuilding this year after graduating three massively important players from a year ago. But you look up and down the WIAC in men's hoops, Parker, and I really was excited last year with the amount of youth that was in the conference. You know, a couple of teams were almost freshman dominated, and now they're all sophomore, junior level type players. The men's basketball side of things in the WIAC this year, as opposed to the last couple of years where it's been Platteville and everybody else, it's going to be, I think, way more competitive this year.
It certainly could be with seeing a little bit of turnover there, especially in teams like Platteville, who were top five in the country, if not better, for much of the year last year. I would expect to see Platteville be that top contender right there with La Crosse, who, I mean, La Crosse just seems to have found something in the last 2 years, really just keeping themselves as a staple of men's basketball in the WIAC. Teams like UW-Whitewater, kind of some questions around there. Not really sure what's going on with that program or who's even coming back that can make that much of a difference, because they've had some kind of more notable guys graduate or transfer out of the program the last couple of years.
And
so
Pat Miller now leaving Whitewater to go to Beloit College, I think that kind of destabilized things a bit too. So.
Absolutely. That I will say, I've never been so unsurprised by someone taking an athletic director job. Pat Miller just kind of screams athletic director at me, so I was really excited to see that he got that job over at Beloit.
All right, women's basketball, the season preview is out, and the WIAC has got three teams in the top 25 in the country, right? They've got a lot of contending type teams. Oshkosh is right, way up there, right? They bring back a ton this year. Oshkosh does. Conference itself, though, like many years, it's a grind. And any team in the conference is certainly capable. Even the teams that are, you know, in the preseason poll, your pick 6, 7, 8, like they all bring back some outstanding players too. And we've seen it the last few years that You know, which is a bit of an oddity in women's sports. Typically, the teams that aren't super competitive at the top of the league aren't capable of this. But in the WIAC, teams 1 through 8 are all capable of beating somebody else, even number one in this league.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, UW Eau Claire, I think they won the WIAC conference tournament just a couple of years ago, and now they're the 7th place team in the conference. That's a nice program. And you just see that ebbs and flows there. So there definitely is the depth there. Looking at teams like Oshkosh, they're going to be really good. You can expect that program to always be really good. UW-Whitewater, I think, with some question marks with losing Casey Corallo to graduation, as well as a couple other key playmakers. They'll be, I think, a little bit more open at the top of the conference. Could be seeing somebody like La Crosse kind of slip up there a little bit more, sneak their way in. Stout as well, coming off of a national runner-up year in women's basketball. I think that could be a kind of a different look of a team this year, and you might see another team kind of move their way up into the conference.
All right, well, we've got about a minute left in the segment, so volleyball, just very quick note there that we are very close to the postseason there, and we're seeing Eau Claire do some amazing things in volleyball in the conference, and it's been kind of them and others. You know, they just swept Platteville, for example, a couple nights ago. I do want to get into football quickly before we get into our calendar countdown segment, and that's just on account of some big matchups this week that are really going to shape the conference title race this year. I'm calling Platteville and Oshkosh. To me, Platteville needs to win out to even have a shot at the postseason, whether it's the Isthmus Bowl or the playoffs. So that's where I'm at with them. Oshkosh is, you know, they're going to be right there with teams too. But really, it comes down to the big three with La Crosse, Whitewater, River Falls. Platteville's already gone 1-2 against that group. But those teams, River Falls has yet to play Whitewater and La Crosse. Well, that changes today. So
it does. Very excited for that matchup in River Falls. These are two teams that are absolutely opposites. Whitewater is a ground and pound, slow and methodical kind of football team. Really, really good defense. River Falls will run, 90 plays in a game. That's not,
and that's
that,
just in the first quarter. So,
yeah, that's, you know, not that much of an exaggeration to say they might actually have 90
the
plays.
The Top Gun offense is so hard to call, but it's so exciting.
Absolutely. So that's going to be a really fun game. Really interesting game, if you're looking at that kind of identity-wise.
All right, that is our look at D3 in the WIAC. We spent a lot of time on it this week because when we look at the calendar this weekend, without Badgers football, it's a little light. I mean, some of you are taking in the World Series throughout the weekend, and some of you are taking in, you know, the start of NHL, NBA, everything that's going on. If we look at our Civic Media calendar, what we've got this weekend is football, and it is the Packers and the Panthers on Sunday. And this is where we welcome back Greg Gunderson to our roundtable to talk about this matchup a bit. I think, first of all, the Packers in the Sunday night game showed a lot of people across the country that tuned in for the Aaron Rodgers showdown, showed that the Packers have a lot of talent, and I think are just still sort of scratching the surface with how complete of a team they might be at some point. They're showing some very important flashes, though, especially on offense now with Christian Watson back in the mix. So let's start there. The Packers are getting close to that halfway point to the season. Are the Packers where you thought they would be so far, Gray?
Yes, generally. Actually, we're a little ahead of where I thought. I figured we'd have accumulated 2 or 3 losses by this point, because Packers for the last few years, especially under LaFleur's tenure in general, if anything, have heated up towards late season, especially Jordan Love, all those Toyotathon jokes. He's playing out of his mind right now and Toyotathon's not there. Parker, it was my turn to steal something you wanted to say, so we're even there.
That's fair.
but no, we're a little hotter than I thought we would be. And even that being the case, I'm not concerned that we're going to cool off at the wrong time, because Christian Watson folded right into that offense like a good ingredient into an apple crisp. Like, it just worked. Everything's gelling right now, and even the moves that were being made on the defensive end are working for the time being. We do still need to get one cornerback and maybe another running back, but I like our chances overall. I like how the schedule looks.
Well, Packers are also in this stretch where they're playing all these road games, and we looked at this in the preseason like, wow, they're playing 4 or 5 away from home, and all of a sudden, this stretch is almost up, and the Packers are in really good shape from this schedule-wise. So, great. Let's look at the schedule now, November, including the Thanksgiving game. It starts to feel like it sets up better, at least for the next month or so, before we see some more difficult travel arrangements once we get into December.
Agreed. And that's not to underestimate anybody who we're facing this month. People are calling it a trap game, which kind of nullifies that as a fact if people recognize it. But Carolina, people might underestimate. If you're thinking, hey, easy win, don't be thinking that. And next week, reigning Super Bowl champs, followed by a few hot rookies, though the New York Giants have been absolutely devastated by some horrendous injuries. From there, we have a stretch of three divisional games, followed by Denver, Chicago, Baltimore. Like, it's a rough one, make no mistake. But hey, you get the right people in the boat, you paddle hard enough, and you get through some crazy rapids, man. Let me tell you, that's exactly what I think the Packers are built to do right now.
Parker, did the Packers show you anything on Sunday that maybe encourages you going forward the rest of the year?
I think seeing Christian Watson, like Gray pointed out, he just meshed right in, like perfectly fine. I was a little worried about him coming in as we've started to see Jordan Love kind of find some rhythm. I think Romeo Doubs has found his way, or seemingly found his way, into the number one wide receiver spot. You might see a little bit difference now with Christian Watson. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing necessarily, but I was very happy with that. Really excited to see, I mean, Micah Parsons, he's figuring it out himself. Getting through those double teams a lot more now, I think. And as well, like the Cardinals, for whatever reason, putting him on single team, single coverage. So you're seeing some guys flourish right now that are really, really important. And I think that's going to continue as this team really meshes and finds their way as they get hot in that Toyota-thon season.
Parker, Gray, thanks for all of your insight on everything so far in the program. We wrap up the show next with a look at all of the high school sports tournaments that are happening, and we'll get you caught up on all of those things that are coming up. Some of it today with cross-country meet and volleyball and soccer sectionals, but also get you set for next week. This is Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. I'm Jimmy Cuska. Our final segment of the show, we focus in on high school sports around the state. And we are on to the quarterfinals in high school football. Let's start in Division I. Your quarterfinalists include the top seeds. Wanakee got a win over Maquanago 20-0. They'll be facing 7th-seeded De Pere, a 17-14 winner over 3rd-seeded Hudson. On the other side of that bracket, Arrowhead and Hamilton will square off in a Level 3 showdown. On the other side of Division 1, it'll be top-seeded Muskego facing 2nd-seeded Badger in Level 3, while it'll be top-seeded Franklin against 3rd-seeded Bayport on the other side of that. Those two teams got blowout victories in their wins to make it to the state quarterfinals. In Division 2, top-seeded River Falls got a win. They defeated La Crosse Central 50-24. They'll take on Oshkosh North, an upset winner, over 2nd-seeded New Richmond 42-36. It was chalk on the other side of that bracket. Notre Dame over Slinger 56-42. And the top-seeded Tritons will take on 2nd-seeded Rice Lake, the Warriors winners over Wauwatosa East 51-34. On the other side of Division 2, top-seeded West De Pere over Pulaski 42-21, 3rd-seeded Union Grove into the quarterfinals with a 14-12 win over Nicolet. And it'll be Homestead, the top seed, 36-0 winners over Elkhorn, taking on 2nd-seeded Monona Grove. The Silver Eagles beat Germantown 28-14. The quarterfinals in D3 are set. Top-seeded Grafton, 59-0 winners over Merrill. They'll be facing Plymouth, who defeated Luxembourg Casco 35-6. Catholic Memorial, a mainstay in these playoffs, 31-22 winners over La Crosse Logan. Their opponent will be 2nd-seeded Mount Horeb Barneveld, who got running clock in a win over 6th-seeded Burlington 42-14. The right side of the Division 3 bracket is all upsets. Reedsburg took down top-seeded Edgewood 20-12. Their opponent will be Pewaukee, the 6th-seed. They took down 2nd-seeded Onalaska 24-21. An 8th seed is still alive in the bottom part of the Division 3 bracket. It is Whitefish Bay, 17-15 winners over Port Washington. Their opponent will be 3rd-seeded Martin Luther, who got a 51-49 victory over Whitnall. There are no upsets in the Division 4 bracket. It's all number 1 and number 2 seeds. In one quarterfinal, it'll be Aquinas taking on Baldwin-Woodville. Another quarterfinal will be Winneconne against Freedom. Columbus will face Mosinee in the 3rd quarterfinal, and the 4th quarterfinal will see Racine St. Catharines take on Little Chute.
In Division 5, it's all chalk with one exception, and that's the game that we had on WRJN. It was New Caleris, the 3 seed, defeating 2nd seeded Racine Lutheran 39-13. The reward will be a trip to take on top seeded Lake Country Lutheran, who defeated Wittenberg Burnhamwood 35-14. Top seeded Mayville beat Winnebago Lutheran 28-21, and 2nd seeded Amherst had little trouble with Brilliant 40-13. Other side of the bracket, top seeded Tomahawk is along 34-12 winners, and Stratford defeated Prairie du Chien 28-21. And the northwestern part of the state, the bracket there, Grantsburg 36-30 winners over Durant, Arkansas, and Northwestern, based in Maple, took down St. Croix Falls 47-20. We're on to the very small school brackets. Top-seeded Regis will face Mondovi in one quarterfinal in the Eau Claire area. Edgar is the top seed in Division 6. They'll take on Bondwell in at Level 3. Bondwell got a 37-36 win over 2nd-seeded Kewaunee. In southwestern Wisconsin, top-seeded Darlington will face 7th-seeded Belleville. Belleville won 38-36 over a 6th-seed Crandon 40-33. They were winners in their opening round game over Auburndale. And the final quarterfinal will see Cedar Grove Belgium travel to take on Manitowoc Lutheran. And our final 11-player football division is D7, the smallest schools in the state. The left side of the bracket is chalk. Cochrane Fountain City, 27-0 winners over Glenwood City. They'll face Boyceville, a 28-9 winner over Pepin Alma. Lourdes Academy defeated Oliva Strum 28-8. Hilbert got by Wazika Steuben Seneca 22-20. That'll be the matchup in that quarterfinal. The right side of the bracket saw a couple of lower seeds advance. 5th-seeded Cashton took down top-seeded Blackhawk Warren 34-28. They'll be facing 3rd-seeded Potosi Cassville 48-28 winners over Johnson Creek. Potosi Cassville was the state runner-up last year in D7. And the final quarterfinal is set. Top-seeded Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic had little trouble with Cribbets 41-7 winners. They'll face Coleman, the 3-seed, who took down 2nd-seeded Roncalli 12-7. And the final division of football is 8-player football, where 3 number 1 seeds and a number 2 seed advanced to the semifinals. The lone number 1 seed to fall was top-seeded Flambeau. They took on McDonald Central and lost 66-30. Lena St. Thomas Aquinas defeated 2nd-seeded Wabino Leona 38-14. It was top-seeded Gilman 36-0 winners over 2nd-seeded North Crawford, and it was top-seeded Oakfield 38-0 winners over Sevastopol. Your semifinal matchups will be McDonald and Lena St. Thomas Aquinas on one side, and Gilman taking on Oakfield on the other side. The state championship, then, would be 2 weeks from today in Wisconsin Rapids. Today is the sectional finals in girls volleyball. There are 16 sectionals to be played today. The finals in Division 1 include Madison Memorial taking on Verona, Kimberly getting West De Pere, River Falls versus Spash, Wanakee against Holman, Menominee Falls faces Hamilton, Oconomowoc against Brookfield East, Oak Creek will take on Kenosha Indian Trail, and Wisconsin Lutheran gets Divine Savior Holy Angels. In Division 2, the sectional finals are this: Rice Lake versus Wapaka, and Xavier against Luxembourg Casco. It is also Sauk Prairie taking on Catholic Memorial, and Grafton versus Pius 11. In Division 3, the sectional final is Grantsburg against Barron on one side, Marshall against Luther on the other. In Sectional 3, St. Mary Catholic against Manitowoc Lutheran, and Watertown Luther Prep against Living Word Lutheran. In D4, Clear Lake will face Regis, while Fenimore will battle Blair Taylor. And it'll be Wabino Leona taking on Montello. Heritage Christian will get Waterloo. Division 5, the state's smallest schools, Prairie Farm and Rib Lake in one of the sectional finals, Highland versus Newman Catholic in another. And finally, it is Florence and Central Wisconsin Christian, as well as St. Ambrose, taking on Pecatonica. That, again, is your girls' volleyball sectional finals, all of those matches happening today. Sectional finals are also taking place in boys soccer and boys volleyball today. Check WIAAWI.org for more. And we talked extensively about this, but the state cross-country meet is happening today in Wisconsin Rapids. You can listen to coverage on WFHR or WRCO on the free Civic Media app. A big thanks to Parker Olson, Greg Gunderson, Jake Kokorowski, and Melissa Gehring for joining me today on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.